In the past, when Shakyamuni Buddha was cultivating blessings and wisdom, he passed through three great asamkhya, a limitless number of eons before he accomplished proper enlightenment. As the saying goes, don't assume a good deed is too small to do and fail to do it. Don't assume a bad deed is too small to matter and do it. When Shakyamuni Buddha was practicing the Bodhisattva way, he didn't overlook a good deed even as small as a strand of hair, nor did he do any evil deed as tiny as a mote of dust. Therefore, his merit and virtue and his blessings and wisdom were made perfect, and he became known as the doubly perfect honored one. Pay attention to this, all of you. Although a good deed may be small, you should still make a point of cultivating that deed, because grains of sand accumulated over time can grow into a pagoda. Over time, you will have created a great deal of goodness. If one does evil deeds, even trivial ones, they can also accumulate from few to many and can become great evil. In such a case, one will never succeed in cultivating the way. Cultivation is nothing more than doing no evil and respectfully performing all good deeds. If you can avoid doing any evil deed, your blessings will increase daily. If you can do all good deeds, your wisdom will increase daily. Even though it increases, you still must continue to cultivate without cease. Only then can you have success. Here in the Chan Meditation Hall, as we walk and sit and walk, using our method of cultivation, we are doing precisely that, cultivating both blessings and wisdom. How are we cultivating blessings? We do so by refraining from all manner of evil deeds. How are we cultivating wisdom? We do so by offering up all manner of good deeds. In these ways, our rewards of blessings is made perfect, and our wisdom is also made perfect. Once this is done, very quickly we will accomplish Buddhahood without having to pass through three great asamkhya eons until the work reaches completion. When Shakyamuni Buddha was a cultivator in ages past, he often went down dead-end roads without realizing it. He was very patient, however, and never gave up. He maintained his vigorous advance, continuing to diligently cultivate precepts, concentration, and wisdom, and put to rest greed, hatred, and stupidity. Finally, he arrived at Buddhahood. As we now cultivate the Buddha Dharma, we are more fortunate than Shakyamuni Buddha was, because we have the example of the proper path that he set for us. We need only walk the way as he did, and we can quickly realize our goal, the Pure Land on the other shore. In one of his past lives, Shakyamuni Buddha was never slighting Bodhisattva, who cultivated the ascetic practice of patience. Whenever he met someone, he would always bow to him and say, "I dare not slight you, for you will one day become a Buddha." Some people detested this behavior, so on occasion he had to endure curses and beatings while he bowed. One time, as he practiced the Bodhisattva way, he bowed to a person who promptly kicked out two of his teeth. He still was not disheartened, however, but continued to persevere in his ascetic practice of bowing. After this experience, he grew a bit more careful and moved off to a safe distance before making his bow and shouting out, "I dare not slight you, for you will one day become a Buddha." With his bow done and his speech made, he would then quickly leave, and those who wanted to beat him up couldn't catch him. Never slighting Bodhisattva used the spirit of having no sense of self to cultivate blessings and wisdom. Who told him to cultivate in that way? Nobody told him. He simply enjoyed cultivating this practice. Although it brought him curses and beatings, he never felt anger or hatred in return. Thus he demonstrated the method used to cultivate the Dharma door of the perfection, paramita, of patience under insult. Patience is the most important Dharma door for cultivators. When you encounter a situation that doesn't go your way, you must bear up under it and yield to it. Don't fight with anyone. If you can cultivate, but you can't be patient, and you freely let your temper go at any time, you'll burn to ashes all of the merit and virtue that you cultivated through such painstaking, bitter efforts. We should ask ourselves honestly, do I have the patience required to bow to others, get a beating in return, and still not feel hatred? If you can do this, you can count as a true disciple of the Buddha. If you can't, then by all means collect your body and mind and make vigorous progress in your cultivation. Otherwise, you have simply wasted all of your time without gaining anything from your work. For cultivators, it's important to be able to endure cold and heat, wind and rain, hunger and thirst, and insults and beatings. Imitate the spirit of never-slighting Bodhisattva. No matter who treats me badly, I will not feel anger or hatred towards them. I will treat all people with sincerity and let them be influenced naturally by that sincerity. In this way, their hostility will be transformed into friendliness, and their swords will change into plowshares. Cultivators work to get rid of all traces of the self. When one is free of all traces of the self, one can endure any state whatsoever. When situations arise, one's mind will not be disturbed. We want to regard ourselves as not different from empty space. We cultivate in the midst of both favorable and adverse situations alike. In other words, favorable situations do not make us happy, and adverse situations do not make us sad. We want to clearly recognize the arising of both favorable and adverse states. If we can remain thus unmoving, then situations will not disturb us. If we can understand and be constantly clear, we will be able to turn situations that arise. When Shakyamuni Buddha cultivated in ages past, he specialized in the Dharma door of patience, so he became known as the patient immortal. One day, without provocation, he was dismembered by King Kali. Even so, he felt no hatred towards the king. Instead, he pitied the king for his ignorance. He said, "In the future, when I become a Buddha, I will take you across first." Upon hearing those words, King Kali felt deep remorse and requested to take refuge with the patient immortal. In a later reincarnation, he was the venerable Ajnata Kaundinya, one of the first five bhikshus who realized the fruition of arhatship upon hearing the Buddha expound the three turnings of the Dharma wheel of the four truths. Shakyamuni Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, cultivated the skill of patience to the ultimate point, so that there was absolutely no way to stir him to anger. As the Buddha's disciples, we should learn the skill of patience from our teacher. In short, patience is the most important of all methods of cultivation and cannot be ignored or overlooked. The ancients said, "A brief moment of patience quells the storms and calms the waves. Yielding and retreating a single step clears the sea and sky." This is why we say that patience is a priceless jewel. I don't care who tears down the city of 10,000 Buddhas, I still won't be attached, get angry, or feel hatred. If everyone could think the same way as I do, the world would know peace. Patience is something cultivators cannot be without. Only with the power of patience can we cultivate. Without patience, all talk of cultivation is in vain. The principle I discuss today is quite ordinary and very flavorless. However, it is true Dharma, proper Dharma, wonderful Dharma, and the rarest Dharma. Although it is quite ordinary, the way comes forth from the most ordinary places. The way is something that people walk on with their feet. This unconditioned Dharma is difficult to encounter, even once in a million eons, so don't overlook what's right before your eyes. If you mistake it for the sound of the wind blowing by your ears and pay it no heed, you'll regret it later. But to no avail. If you can use the message that I have given to you today, then no matter what state appears, you won't get afflicted or upset. No matter what kind of problem comes your way, if you can use wisdom to judge the situation, you'll sever it with a single slash of the sword. It will be like a knife cutting through butter. You won't ever feel troubled. Finally, I hope all of you will truly work hard, investigate Chan, and find out who is reciting the Buddha's name. If you haven't found out yet, don't rest until you do.